Welcome back to the podcast. Tonight we interrupt our Deadlands game as we play a version of Shadowrun. We use the Cortex system for this, heavily drawing upon the leverage role-playing game by Margaret Wise Productions. It's Shadowrun circa 2050, the timeline from the first and second versions of the game. The players were Eldon, Jameis, Sharon, Chris, and sometimes Joshua. Enjoy Shadowrun Session 1, Part 1. Okay, so tonight we are playing Shadowrun in the year 2050, straight from the first edition Shadowrun books, but we are using the leverage system. And I'll let people introduce themselves. I'll call out the character name, Mr. Gale Wildstar, also known as Mr. Patterson, played by
Eldon, playing the punk rocker.
All right. Bella, the Elven Spin Doctor, as played by...
This is Sharon.
And Raymond Dingleberg, Elven Rocker, as played by...
Josh.
Grog, the Troll Magician, and Tuff, as played by...
Jameis.
And finally, James Woodrow, the Dwarven Soup Kitchen Extraordinaire Guy, as played by...
Played by Chris.
All right.
Dwarven Soup Kitchen Extraordinaire Guy.
Most of you have been living a street lifestyle for a bit now through various problems in your work life and perhaps some runs gone poorly. All of you are down to your last few creds. Your meager lifestyles are in jeopardy. And so it seems like it's time to try and scare up another run to make ends meet. You guys do the shadow runs mostly when times are tough. You all have different things that you like to do for a living otherwise. But it looks like all of you are hitting that empty gas tank again, and it's time to hit the shadows. So how do you all know each other? For a lot of you, there is a band. What is this band?
I don't know. Well, for, Gale Windstar's band, its name is the Mysterious Riders of Chaos. All masked individuals, including Gale.
They're a glam punk band.
maybe the roadies come into the soup kitchen every once in a while.
All right, yeah,
and I see the mask on their face and wonder what they're for.
Sure, that could be how James Woodrow gets connected. Since you guys are often poor, coming to the soup kitchen is not a bad way to get hot food.
Just for the sake of funnies, can I replace those standard roadies with drones who stole the band members' masks? So we can't leave until we get those masks back.
All right. Sharon, how does Bella know?
Bella's a big fan of M-Rock, and right now she's trying to figure out a way to get them to let her be their manager.
Alright.
I don't know, I hear that they have a number of managers, like Mr. Patterson or something. He's a tough guy. Tough.
And how does Grog get in knowing these
people? As an illusionist, he's probably done some work with them, helping to spruce up their gig stuff. Yeah.
They're pyrotechnist.
Yep.
Yes, I love it.
And Joshua. Is Joshua the talent?
I would imagine, considering the kind of band they are, he does, he's probably worked with them doing warm-up and stuff. I imagine he, I don't know.
They trade off warming up for each other.
I don't know what your character's education was, Eldon. Did your character go to school?
I'd probably say so.
I like to imagine they if they met in university and your character was the one who convinced my character to drop out and pursue a life of music.
Eldon is a bad influence.
Love it.
He'd always copy my physics homework.
I don't need to copy it. I improved it.
All right. Well, that loops everyone together quite nicely. So you guys are out on the town early tonight going to Reno's. Reno's is a fairly up-and-coming joint, serves cheap liquor and loud music. A lot of times you found jobs here before. Kind of low level, but just enough where the risk to payoff threshold was right around your liking. So when you get in this position as you are now, Reno's is often the place that you head for. Let's see. All of you would know ahead of time that. Let's talk about this real quick. If any of you took guns as any kind of gear, depending on where you go, having obvious weaponry, will get you some heat. A lot of places will have you turn it in, having your coat checked, you'll have your gun checked. In particularly bad places of Seattle, no one will bat an eye at having a gun or a pistol, but if you're trying to bring in some serious hardware above and beyond that, you'll be given some grief. So Reno's is one of the places where having a sidearm is pretty much like wearing a hat. It's not that big of a deal. But if you're trying to bring in anything like a sword or an assault cannon, that's going to be a no-go. this is in the Polyup area. It's not the slums, but only just. If it continues to keep sliding in the next few years, it probably will be a slum. Right now, it's not so bad. But tonight, the music is loud enough that you can hear it pounding through the doors before you even go in. The deep throbbing bass in the background, and there's a piercing ring of a synth guitar. It's early, but there's a mediocre band already on stage, where they make up for their lack of talent by playing very loudly, which seems to be, responding with the crowd that's here tonight. Most of them are very drunk at this point.
Amateurs.
There's an orc doorman. I've seen you guys often enough that he nods you in without the customary cover charge. You've brought some work here before, and he knows your faces well enough to let you slide on in. All right. Yeah. So the inside, even though it is already early in the night, there's a frenzy of youngish people in the crowd. This is a bar that isn't very. You do have a good selection of metahumanity in here. You do see some dwarves and elves. Elves, of course, really like their club hopping, so that's not unusual to see elves, whooping it up on the dance floor. In certain parts of Seattle, it is more odd to see a mix of, trolls and orcs and mixed in as well. But they all seem to be fairly well behaved. The music, once again, is loud, if not talented. All right, so what do you guys do?
By the way, are we mainly grifters with a hacker?
That's up to you. That's up to you guys. I would assume since you all kind of have real jobs that you don't generally take the hardcore type of shadow runs.
Yeah, because from the sound of it, we're mainly grifters as a primary approach for most of us.
Uh-huh. yeah, it is for me.
Actually, you know what? I don't think I got that from people. Did most everyone take grifter as a primary approach?
Yes.
What did you take, Eldon?
I did.
I took gifter.
You took grifter? Okay, Sharon, what did you take?
Grifter.
Joshua?
Grifter.
Wow. Chris, you took Grifter as well, Chris?
I did.
Okay, yeah. So you guys are probably more on the lines of information brokers than anything else. Yeah. You have subtle ways of extracting information and getting information from people. It's probably what you deal in the most.
Mm-hmm. And trying not to be physically attacked.
Yes, yes.
This first mission involves a gun-running operation.
No. Excuse me. So, as you guys start trying to make the rounds in Reno's, kind of getting a feel for the area, trying to see who might be looking to hire. Let's have everyone who's doing this go ahead and give me probably an alertness and grifter or alertness in the mastermind role there. What you're trying to do is scout out people who look like they don't fit in. So if you've got anything else you want to add in you think that might help, let me know.
No.
Okay. So what you're looking for is to get a total of 8 or 8 or better.
Yeah, but you're going to die.
Did you roll a 1? It hasn't shown up yet.
Got an 8 and a 1.
8 and 1, okay. Well, I'll take that D6.
Could I throw in my distinction as the mysterious rider of chaos and part-time manager?
How would that let you pick out someone who is... I can kind of see that, because you probably are good at scouting crowds. So, yes, you can add a distinction in if you wish.
All right. And do those cost any points, or are those just...
No. You just either choose or not choose to add it into your pool.
And what do those come in at?
The distinctions come in at a D6.
Okay.
It's been a while since I've ran this, so I'm going to have to look at things occasionally here.
D8.
D8. Distinctions of
D8. Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
I rolled a 1 off the bat, so there you go, Mr. G.
Yay. Actually, I'm going to step up that former D6 to a D8. That's what I'm going to do.
Do dice explode in the system? Because I did roll a 10 on a D10.
They do not.
Aw.
No.
So did anyone else, did anyone get an 8 or better? It looks like a few people did.
Yes, I did.
Okay. There is a woman who is, dressed a bit better, than everyone else in the club. And while she is of the appropriate age, she certainly doesn't seem to be enjoying the music. You also notice that there is a rather large individual, probably a bodyguard, human that is at the bar but seems to be keeping an eye on her, and she's just kind of scanning the crowd. She's got a drink in her hand, seems to be doing her best to ignore the music, so this girl is kind of standing out a bit.
Is she at a booth?
No, she's just a little bit away from the bar but not quite into the dance pit or the dance area. Definitely easy to look at. She's wearing lots of flashy jewelry and a military cut corpse suit, you would say, you know. So she looks like a suit, definitely. It's not the right neighborhood for this.
I think
Mr. Patterson should go up to her.
I was thinking.
Oh, Ellis, you guys insist.
I mean, James is more of the over the phone, discreet, don't want to talk to anybody face to face person.
Hey, if you don't want to talk to the attractive women tonight, I can do that just fine. Can't walk right. Over.
All right, so Mr. Wildstar walks over.
Yep.
All right, so yeah, she sees you approaching, takes a sip off from her drink, and continues to stare at you. How do you initiate the conversation? What do you say?
So, what's a lovely, proper woman doing in such a dive bar like this? Here to enjoy the rap.
She's human.
Okay.
Alright. She looks you up and down. You're an elf, which pretty much, unless you say otherwise, means that you've got the whole GQ, you know, very attractive features thing going on. You know, there's the only elves that are not attractive are the ones that have gone out of their way to become unattractive, usually by scarification or something similar.
I did put my vitality at a D8, so I think I'm gold.
Right. She looks you up and down. How are you dressed tonight? See, what you went street level?
Yeah.
So yeah, you're kind of shabby looking then. Like I said, that includes a street style wardrobe.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. She says, "I'm scouting out talent."
Oh, I'm somewhat in the business myself.
What's she doing here?
What sort of talent? And if there is a chair, I immediately sit down without giving her any sort of response. Says no.
All right. So you sit at the bar, which causes her to, you know, have to come in a little bit closer to the bar. It's like, yeah, I'm looking for some professionals to assist my employer in retrieving some property. I need a low profile group that can recover some goods with a minimum amount of attention. You know where I can find such people?
You know, I might just know. You know, this is really loud here, though. Is there any place you would rather be?
Yeah, 1 a.m. Yes, it's just... Okay, so she says, 1 a.m., the Banshee. You know where it is?
Oh, a late-night rendezvous. Yeah, I know where that is.
She nods her head and says, all right, see you and your crew then. What are the rest of you guys doing while Mr. Wildstar is chatting up a potential hire?
Do we have cell phones?
Yeah. Everyone's going to have a communicator. In this case, you know, cell phones. If you didn't buy cyber, then it's just that. It's a cell phone.
Okay. So I want to text Mr. Patterson. You know, what's the deal? What's going on? You know, as he's there talking to her.
Okay. Yep. So your comm, lights up, probably plays, you know, 5 seconds worth of your latest hit.
Yep. Well, it's round up by the music of the establishment, though.
Yes. I'm actually going to get, 2 drinks. And walk over to them and put one down in front of Mr. Patterson.
Okay. You're doing this just as she is leaving because their conversation was very short. Okay. So yeah, you come in just as the woman has told you, Mr. Patterson, 1 o'clock at the Banshee. And yeah, she's leaving the bar area. After she gets, you know, several feet away from the bar, the large guy peels away from the bar and kind of follows behind her.
All right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, Patterson, where and when?
1 a.m. I'm not bringing my skippies. Oh, you need a job? What? How about you give me that drink? We'll talk about it somewhere more exclusive. Ooh, mojito.
You guys hit the club early, so, you know, it's several hours before 1. Is anyone doing anything else?
No, just getting a drink, and that's about it.
And finding... Do we know where the Banshee is?
We know what the Banshee is?
Yes, this is where street etiquette would come in. Anyone take any kind of street etiquette as a distinction?
I've got the distinction. I've been to the best spots in town.
Can I use cop etiquette to know where that is?
Cop etiquette won't help, but Jameis, yeah, you can make a roll on that.
Okay.
Probably intelligence and grifting would work.
Would working in a soup kitchen?
Unfortunately, no. And if you you can add that distinction in there with your role if you want, Jameis.
I don't need to. Okay, yeah, I got a 12.
Yeah, you know where the Banshee's located. It's actually it's an interesting place. It is it's a club. You know, they play music in a diner, but they don't advertise. As a matter of fact, they don't advertise that there isn't even like a a sign above where they're located. It's pretty exclusive stuff. It's not like really, you know, it's in the same area that you're in now. It's not very far from here, so it's not like a gentleman's club or, you know, a high society club or anything. It's just a club that caters to a very specific kind of clientele, mostly runners.
What's the standard dress code?
About what you're wearing now. It's in the, okay. As I said, the same neighborhood.
Okay.
Cool.
So I could probably take off a little more. I mean, proceed.
All right. Well, again, you guys have several hours before you're supposed to meet at the Banshee. Do you want to do anything before then?
I'm totally willing to drag all these schmucks to a booth or something and spill the beans.
Yeah, you guys can find a booth in here. I mean, it's really loud. You're basically having to shout everything you're talking about. But in a way, it actually gives your conversation a little bit of security that way.
Standard thing here at this point would be to do an image search for her face on the do they call it the net? I can't remember.
Yeah,
they call
it something else. Fine. Yeah. Or the Matrix.
Yeah, Matrix. Can someone do an image search for her on the Matrix? It's not really my area of expertise, but I'm sure.
Anybody think you get a picture of her?
Oh, can I be terrible and pull that out of the back of my shirt? As far as the Decker equipment?
How would you have gotten her picture is what I'm getting at.
Oh, I'd just be going off of memory.
Off of memory? So you're going to make you have any kind of artistic ability?
Let's get this party started. What you see happen was when I was at the bar and looking around, I got a call on my cell phone, so I was holding it up, looking and reading the message, and click.
All right, yeah, that's fine. You can do a flashback that way. It will cost you your karma.
Yeah, and that's why I'm one karma gone. But this should be flowing fairly easily, though.
Yes. So, sure, you got a good couple of still images that you're able to pull from your video. Someone wants to get on the Matrix and try to find out some background information on her.
I'm not a hacker of any approach, so yeah, not me.
I'm gonna pop on my police computer and see if I can find anything.
Okay. do you guys have interface jacks, or do you have an interface jack? Okay. Good enough. In that case, give me an alertness and hacking roll.
Okay.
And if you've got any distinctions or talents that you think might help, feel free.
Can I do the same with people questioning where I'm pulling all this stuff out from underneath my body?
Yeah, you can do the same thing. Anyone who anyone else wants to do this?
Nope.
Can I use any sort of social engineering to, if I find out, get a lead to get me more info?
Well, tell me how you're going to go about doing that.
Yeah, not sure. I'm just going to do the first roll.
Sure. Oh, here, let me give you a little bit of. Let's see. This is going to be pretty basic, so I'm going to roll my number two dice. So 9. You got your target number is 9 or better.
Oh, someone did. I wouldn't.
Go ahead. And
okay,
give us
I did not. Yeah. Oh, I did. I did not.
8. You did not. Okay, Eldon. Yeah. I mean, you're able to get a hit pretty quickly. This is apparently she works for a corps. Her name is Roxanne Wunter.
Huh.
I shouldn't be laughing.
W-U-N-T-E-R.
At T-R?
W-U-N-T-E-R. She was educated at the University of California, Berkeley, where she got honor scholarship as a student. Her first job was as a security manager at Backdoor Systems. Completely successful. She's now working for a company that specializes in entertainment skill softs. She's apparently an exec at this company. That's about what you get.
Okay.
Yeah, basic rule of Shadowrun. Always look for your Johnson and see what you can get on them first.
No criminal record that you can find.
Okay.
Which organization is she with, did you say?
Backdoor Systems.
Is that part of one of the megacorp side?
No, it's a very small company. It's not part of one of the names. Right.
Okay.
Global Technologies is who owns that particular company. Right. Once again, they're not one of the main, top tier.
Yeah.
Starting with that name, can I find out any additional information?
You're going to look for Global Technologies?
No. I'm starting with her name.
Starting with her name.
Yeah.
Well, you failed your roll, so you don't even have that name.
No, but we're sitting in the booth.
All right.
Yeah, I'll spill all this information to him.
Okay, so you're sharing information there.
But when we start this off, because we heard, I could have sworn he said, her name is Roxanne, I will start singing out Roxanne.
So you want to, I mean, essentially Eldon's already done that, done a search on the name, so do you want to go further than that? And what I'm saying is you're just going to get the same information he is, just looking up a name.
Okay, I want to look up more information on backdoor technologies.
Okay, go ahead, give me a roll on that.
Okay.
And the last thing you said, she was working for an entertainment company now, or she was the CEO or something like that?
It's actually higher for this one. It's an 11. She's working for the same company. She is just higher up in the company now. You can't pinpoint exactly where she is because you can't get an org chart for the company. But she's an exec for working for Global Technologies,
which owns Backdoor.
Which owns Backdoor? Yep.
Yeah. No, I don't find anything.
Well, nothing. You find their main website, and that'd be about it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. And you know, it just shows that they specialize in entertainment production skills. Skill softs, which are basically implantable skills. Like if you've got a chip slot as a cyber tech, and you want to know how to cook, you can slot a cooking skill soft and know how to cook. So they deal in that sort of thing. They also deal in media and entertainment as well.
Can I go ahead and try to search that additional information about the company and throw in the distinction again of the part-time manager? Because I'm sure I've run into people using this software in the entertainment industry.
Well, they don't really deal with music, but sure, you can make a roll.
Same dice pool as before?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Oh, look at that.
Enjoy those ones, GM.
I'll
enjoy
take
them.
A D8.
Wow.
Ooh. Put that into my pool.
Just as we're rolling, lots of dice can be useful and painful.
Exactly. All right, so yeah, that's about the best you guys can do. It's not that you're finding Global Technologies has a lot of security on it. It's just that they're such small players that there just isn't a lot out there.
It's just that we're all a bit crap.
I'm looking for Global Technologies. Did you mean Aztec Systems? Look at Aztec Systems. Aren't we wonderful?
Well, you guys feel pretty confident, and you found what's out there. I mean, you know, if you spent days on it, you might be able to pull up more information. But you know, you don't get the feeling that it's anything's hidden. It's just they're so small that there's so very little press about them.
Okay, so
you get product lines, release schedules, stuff like that. I mean, and with some of those hacking roles you made, you might even got into the company's projection schedule, so you know what they're going to come out with in the next month or two. You know, it wasn't hard to get that. So you know, you don't really think these guys have a great deal of protection. They're just, you know, they're nobodies.
So tip one was search Johnson. Tip two was get to the meeting early and case it out.
Mm-hmm. Although, quick question as far as, because we're using the classic docking system, or as far as using the Matrix, would it be possible for me to drink my mojito and surf the web?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you go full immersion, in which case you can't, but...
Well, it'd be very messy.
So when I'm not fully emerged, can they see what I'm doing?
Yeah, because essentially you can, it's just like using, you're just using your visual cortex as your monitor. You can still kind of look to see what's going on around
you. As you say, think of it like Google Glass.
Yes.
It's a lot like Google, basically it's Google Glass.
But if you're fully immersed in the Matrix, you're just a lump of flesh. I mean, you know, you can't see or do anything if you're fully in there and going, you know.
Gotcha.
And you may or may wake up with certain marks on your face. We can't comment.
Okay. I'm going to pull up any information about the Banshee. If I can find any sort of either a layout or number of exits for like a building diagram, and what time do their shows usually start?
Okay. Easy enough, except let me. All right, you're looking for a 6. Go ahead and give me a roll.
Okay, and that is just what, intelligence, alertness, what?
It's going to be, you're looking for information, so it's going to be alertness and hacking.
Okay. Nope.
So you get the basics. I mean, they have a...
No, you got a 7. That's a 5. I can't read.
Yeah, they've got a matrix presence. It's not exactly fine dining, and it's, for a place that is supposedly trying to make an income from their food and their music, their entire blurb that's on the matrix is just like a paragraph long, and that's about it. It's like, we serve food hot and fresh. There's music. it's like a placeholder.
By people.
Yeah, it's a placeholder. You actually find it, a little suspicious that there's so very little information about it.
Yeah, I think we should get there no later than 10:30. 11.
Well, I don't know if we're going to need to case it that early, but,
Sounds good.
Well, if they have, if they have live music, then you can just be there for watching the show. Or not,
Have you guys played there before?
Good question. Have
I? No, I haven't.
You haven't, no.
Maybe I'll call them up, see if they want somebody to come in. They always want
I'm
to open
kind of useless manager if he got it, if he hasn't booked you there.
Sure. You got the phone. You got their phone number. You call them up, and just there's a kind of a curt voice on the other end. Yeah.
Hey, so I hear you're doing just wonderful things as far as your club and all that. Do you have any opening acts coming up you need filled?
No, we don't do live.
Oh, you don't do live?
Yeah, he hangs up.
Good job.
Okay.
And that's why you're the manager.
I'm going to call them up.
Yeah.
Yes. Hi. Okay. Is this Banshee?
Yep.
Yeah. Well. We're just wondering. Are you having a show tonight?
There's a slight pause. We don't do shows.
You don't do shows. I had a pretty good authority that you did. Huh.
Well, you're wrong. Click.
Arguing with him. Good idea.
We are a club. We serve drink and food.
Well, we might as well get there now, but...
Yeah.
Oh, you guys should check out this trailer for the latest film from the Global Group. Awesome.
All right, so you guys want to go there a little earlier then?
Yeah.
Yes, and actually, when we arrive, can I try to search out the legacy building for any sort of what could be like power or any sort of like box for all the wiring of the building?
Of course, yeah. It's actually it's an old brick house. Not a house. It used to be some kind of textile business. The signs have been removed, so it's got this brick facade on the front. It's completely unremarkable. There's a broken neon sign that's not even on that announces that BA space SH space E is open for business. The spaces are where the lights are blown out. There's a heavy steel door right here in the brick facade, and there's no other markings at all on the door.
And about what time is it now?
If you left pretty early, it's like 11.
About 11, okay.
All right. Is the box there, though?
Sure, if you want to go down like one of the side alleys, yeah. It's got a full electrical out here. Junction box.
Because based on the exterior of this building, would I be able to roll to see if they have things that don't belong? Like, why is this high-definition internet cable here? Or why do they have that?
Okay, sure. You want to look at the junction box to see if there's anything odd. Alertness hacking.
Okay. No, that'll be nice. I was going to say intelligence, but nah, we're trying to observe right now. That's fine.
Yeah. Hey, take a karma chip. I just rolled a one.
So, yeah. Nice.
Yay.
And your target's a two. So I'm pretty
sure
you're
double ones.
Yeah. Well, the first thing you notice is the junction box has a security cover over it. Quite nice one, actually. There's a couple of extra feeding lines through here, so you think their security is actually pretty good. They probably at least have cameras in there.
From this position, could I try to hack these set cameras?
Not once again. It's got a security cage around it, and a pretty good one at that. If you want to try and rip it off, it may set off alarms.
This is likely to be just a standard runner's club that they don't advertise much. It's not like there's not a billion of these around the city.
Hey, I have a challenge now.
The cages are not meant to be, there's no lock. It's not meant, you know, when service needs to be done, they need to be torn off. So that's how you're going to have to get into it.
So there'd be no way to, like, set off an alarm. Something or anything like that?
No.
Okay. Fine, but if I'm right about this, you owe me a milkshake. Fine,
yeah,
guys,
let's go inside.
I'm going to drink it all up.
Do you want to go in all at once? Do you want to go in...
Some of the things you notice by walking around the building is there's no windows. They've all been bricked up.
Woo!
The second that Bella just says, should we all go in together, my character just pushes open the door, pops his collar, which is almost practically rips when he does so, and walks in.
So yeah, as I said, it's got a heavy steel door up front. As you approach it, you can hear the muffled music that's seeping out from under the door. You go to push the door, and it seems like it's closed, and a shutter from the top is kind of slid across, and you see a couple of eyes on the other end and look down at you. Let's see the cred sticks.
Cred sticks, but we're here for a really important meeting. You know, when people know when they want to tip, and they will tip well, that could already make up for your cred right there.
Money talk, street rat. Let's see the sticks or get moving.
What's your cover charge?
There's no cover charge per se. We just want to see your ability to pay for things once you're inside. No freeloaders.
I'm staying far away from this conversation.
Keep in mind, you're dressed street. Like, you're in filthy clothing, probably. Or if it's clean, it's really, not such good repair.
I will go ahead and pull out my money, but I want to try to do it in a way where I exaggerate how much I have.
Well, they're digital chips. I mean, you really can't see what's on them other than the fact that you have one or you don't have one.
Okay, I go over out of my way. I show him my cred stick. Can I come in?
All right. At least the lady's got some money. You're a clunk on the other end, and the door opens. And the eyes that were looking down at you, you see the rest of them. He's a fairly formidable-sized troll. He's dressed very nicely, though. He's even got like a little bow tie. The rest of his clothing is, fairly street as well. But he's got this, he's rocking the bow tie, and his tusks have been polished to a nice shine. He grins in what can only be a welcoming smile to you there, Bella. He gives a little bow as he drops the bar back across the door once everyone's back in. The music is continuing to play. The music's actually pretty good. It's more subdued. It's loud enough that you can still hear it out here at the entrance, but it's not blaring like the other place was, and it's tasteful.
So, by our definition of music, it's not tasteful?
No, this is by your definition of music. It's actually tasteful.
Okay.
It's not bad.
Okay, is this one of those places where you have to check your gun or not?
Well, as you enter the bar, you're slightly more impressed with it. Although it's last year's music blasting from a pair of decaying speakers, the music is clear and loud. It opens up into a narrow hall with a single low window to your left. At the far end of the hall, about 12 feet away, is a steel and wire mesh gate with a single crossbar that can only be it's operated from the other side. There's a human who's behind the gate there, and he's checking in some other people's gear. Some people are laying down, like, you know, shotguns and rather large knives, etc. He's letting people go in with their sidearms, though.
Okay, then I will keep my sidearm.
As you go into the queue, the person in front of you, the guy drops his weapon into a steel tray and gives the guy a number. And he flips the guy, flips a dwarf on the other end a thumbs up sign, who opens the gate, and the guy's let in. Ah, hey, new faces. Haven't seen you all here before.
Don't worry, we'll make our mark. Pop. Color pop.
Is anyone carrying anything really obvious, weapon-wise, other than just a handgun?
No, I sort of just face my jacket open just to show I'm not carrying a gun.
He throws a thumbs up, and the dwarf levers the gate open again. He says, hey, enjoy your time. Food's pretty good. And then kind of at his side, he covers his mouth and says, I wouldn't order the shellfish, though.
Order shellfish and then walk in.
All right. The music that it's being played is piped into the bar. And, you know, it's just loud enough to cover people's conversations, but not so loud that you have to, you know, yell to be heard. There's several large tables in the center of the room. They're surrounded by deeply padded vinyl chairs. There's only one bar. It's located directly in front. There are several scantily clad waitresses moving back and forth through the very thin crowd.
Are they human?
The waitresses? Mix.
Yeah.
Mix. Human, elf, there's even a couple of orcs.
I'm talking mixed, we're not talking half-elf, right?
Okay, the bar, what does the, what kind of booze at the bar? Like, does it look like rotka? Does it look like
a you scan the shelf, and, you know, it's, their rail drinks are, you know, it's pretty midline with a couple of, higher qualities here and there, but for the most part, it's kind of, you know, midline. There's nothing rot gut, but nothing really expensive either. And the guy's rubbing down the bar with a wet rag. The bar's already kind of wet. He's doing it like a really exaggerated slowness, like he's bored.
Okay. Well, then let's get a table.
Okay.
Are there booths?
There are booths, and as a matter of fact, in the center of every booth on the table, there's a little noise generator. It looks like the club's definitely built for private conversations and meetings.
All right, let's just grab about how many people fit in the booth.
Even for the troll, you can get about 6 people in the booth just fine.
I'm a fairly small troll. I've only got a body of D4, so I'm not on the huge side of trolls.
Okay.
Okay.
D6 body.
Then let's see. Six will fit in the booth. We should get 2 booths.
Okay. You can get 2 next to each other if you want. There's enough space in between, though, that you know, it would be hard to talk to one another if you're in 2 separate booths.
Oh, okay. Then we'll just sit in 1 booth for now.
Could you get a booth and just pull a chair up to the table?
There are no free chairs, actually. They're all kind of welded into the ground.
Okay, well,
makes
we'll get
much harder to hit people with.
Yeah.
We'll get a booth, and we make sure that we are going to sit, Parker? Elden? You're going to sit on one of the outside seats where you can be seen from the door.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
And I'm going to sit in one of the other outside seats.
All right. While you're all there kind of scanning the crowd, if everyone wants to give me an alertness, and you can choose either thief or mastermind or grifter as your
I think we're going to go grifter because, you know.
Of course.
Why wouldn't we?
And alertness.
So what was it?
Okay.
Alertness.
Yeah.
Okay, not bad.
Oh, great. I just rolled 2 ones.
Well, I'll take that D8.
Figured you would.
I rolled a 1 as well.
I'm tucked away so far in the booth, I can't see anything.
Look at that 10.
All right, so, Jameis, you rolled the highest of the 10, so you will take my 1 that I rolled. So take karma for that.
Phew, I've got a karma point, yay!
Oh, no, I got a... Wait, he got a... just a single die?
Highest one will get... who did you roll? Oh, you 11. Got more than a 10 with your 2 dice, didn't you?
Yeah. Okay. And I think... Yeah, I got, got an 11, and I think someone got a 12.
You got a 12.
Yeah, I got a 12.
Okay, sorry. Eldon, then, will get the karma point. But all of you did pretty well there. So there's a Weasley guy that comes in the door, not too long after you. And, he takes a seat down where he's able to kind of cover the front door. And he's brought to your attention because you could have sworn you saw him at the club. It didn't really make an impression on you at the time. It just, seeing him again this soon after, just being at the club, throws off a few alarms in some of your heads there. He's human. He's very inconspicuous looking, kind of a sunken shoulders, and he's just kind of really pulled into himself. He's got a hat kind of pulled down over his eyes. He orders a drink at the bar and just sits down. It just looks like he's just watching the door.
So, Dingleberg, do you have groupies?
Not that I know of.
You sure? I mean,
why?
Some guy walked in, was at the bar, a little bit of a dork, I think he's over there ordering right now. Sure he's not one of your fans?
Well, he's not bought me a drink, so I guess not.
True. Very true.
Speaking of drinks, we should order.
Sorry, what? Eldon, what was your character's name again?
Although everyone is calling Mr. Patterson, considering how well we know each other, you can probably call me Gale.
Gale.
You know that name.
All right, so speaking of drinks, Gale, we should order something.
Dingleberg, you told her the first? Did you tell her the last?
No, I didn't. What?
Oh. You know what I mean.
I didn't tell anyone.
Very interesting. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Jazz is silent.
That's
long
what we say.
Pauses
Bill.
Of boredom.
I heard something about drinks.
These sexy lips are suits.
Yeah. Does a waitress come over, or are we just?
Yeah. Eventually, once you've settled in and you make it look like you're waiting for a waitress, they seem to be really good about not bothering people that are otherwise engaged talking. Eventually, an elven waitress comes by. Wearing one of these midriff shirts and jeans that have, holes and rips all over them. Very 80s.
the classics.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I want to order some food.
Oh, we've got a great menu tonight. She puts, she's snapping some bubble gum in her mouth and she's talking, kind of got a Jersey sort of accent to her.
Something.
Some alcohol or just some soy calf?
Yeah, other than the shellfish. No shellfish.
Wise decision.
Felt like a burger or something.
Oh, well, we got soy beef. We got we got some faux kangaroo. Look at this menu here on the side. As she points out, they've got all kinds of tailored meat product.
Go with the straight beef.
There's, that's the other thing is that, food, real food is really pricey. Most things are made of soy or some kind of synthetic. They do have a very small part of the menu where you can get real beef. it's pricey though.
I'll go with the soy.
Yeah.
As long as it looks like a panda steak.
Yep.
Ray is gonna order an apple teeny.
she stops laughing after a minute. Oh, you're serious? I'm sorry.
I mean, really, right? Just order something normal. By the way, mojito.
Just order club soda and a salad.
Although, actually, before we order anything, does she have a name tag on at all?
Beth.
Beth, we're maybe waiting on somebody, I don't know, somebody's friend, I don't know the exact details, but I did notice it might be him over at the bar who just walked out. I don't want to bug him if it's not, you know, I can't see people from the back, that stuff. Just, I barely know. But do you know that guy? I know Charlie. Charlie's the guy we're supposed to be waiting for.
He pops her bubblegum for a minute and says, no, he's new here. You want I should order him a drink from you?
Nah, I don't want to bug him.
It's okay. Yeah, she looks over at your character there, Sharon. She's like, got some strange friends tonight. She smiles to take the edge off when she says that.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy your booth, and I'll be back with your food in a bit.
Okay, thank you, Beth.
All right. She seems nice.
Your drinks come pretty quickly, and not too much longer the food comes. It's not exactly like the stuff is cooked so much as processed.
Squirted.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll take out some cutlery that's in my jacket and start eating.
His own cutlery. He's definitely lived on the streets. You never know what's on theirs.
True. Yeah. And I got the sharp knives.
Yep, yep. You know, it's not horrible. It's soy. Everyone who's used to a middle class or lower style lifestyle has gotten used to soy at this point. It's the drinks are exceptional, and that's a little surprising.
Drinks are easy to make.
All right. So the fidgety guy at the bar orders another round of coffee. He seems to be checking out his watch every now and then.
And he's only drinking coffee?
Looks like it. Soy coffee. Yep.
Yes, soy I've calf. Had that. I've had that.
Do we get a plan B in place if we need to take him out of commission for a while?
Yeah, again, the Sean. Guy doesn't look like much. I mean, he's, you know, he's kind of weedy, wiry, and just, you know, his clothing is not much better than what you guys are wearing.
Well, my humanitarian
I'm thinking
friends.
As a way of drugging his drink, by the way. Just not
I'm
something
well, actually.
I don't know. I think we can convince him. Oh, you're not wearing street clothes?
No.
How provocative is your outfit, then?
Pardon?
Well, she's middle class. She actually can have some classy wardrobe going on there. But you were probably dressing down for the area that you were in. Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
But, all right. So, what do you do?
Is the woman, I'm forgetting her name of, but the person supposed to be meeting here, arrived yet? How much
oh, no.
Time
you got here. Here. You got here a couple of hours early.
Okay. But yeah, well, my humanitarian friend, we can always just, you know, if he's following us, we just walk out of the bar briefly, we take him into a dark alleyway, and you know what? What happens, happens. But we're not relaxed, chill. Gulps down more mojito.
They make a pretty good mojito. So you guys just continue to watch and wait?
Yep. Is he?
Yeah.
He's watching the door.
Yes,
he's
he
not,
is.
Is he paying any particular attention to us?
Not at all.
Okay.
All right. Well, if you guys continue to wait, pretty soon through you know the cage and the entryway, the bodyguard that you saw at the club shows up. He's scouting around the room. He sees you all sitting in a booth. He nods at you. And he stands and waits for a bit, and pretty soon Roxanne shows up. And I take it you guys, are you guys paying any attention to the rat-like guy while this happens?
I am.
right. Well, you notice as soon as the bodyguard comes in that he kind of swivels around in the bar stool so that he's facing away from the door, and he kind of pulls up his collar a little bit and hunches down over his coffee. And when Roxanne comes in and sees that you're already here, she's changed her clothes since last you saw her, and she's looking slightly winded. Just had a little activity. Her hair is really tousled. It's like, you know, kind of standing up and kind of looks like it's been windblown. And there's just the slightest bruise starting on the side of her neck. So she composes herself. She sees all of you guys, and then she nods at you all and says, she gives you a smile. It's like, oh, very professional. Checking the place out before the meeting time. I approve. Come on back this way. I've reserved a private room.
And she starts excellent.
Heading towards the rear end of the club.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What does her bodyguard do?
He waits for everyone to follow her, and then he's going to follow you guys.
Okay.
All right. I want to be the last one in line.
Okay.
And point out the rat guy at the bar to the bodyguard.
Okay. Well, what do you tell him specifically?
That when you guys showed up, he kind of turned and put his collar up. He's just been drinking coffee all night.
All right, well, the guard stops for a minute and says something into his wrist. Now, you guys have probably seen this before. A lot of people have implanted cell phones. He says something into his wrist. Roxanne pauses for a moment and then continues walking. The bodyguard nods at you there. Sorry, what's your character's name again?
James.
James, okay. Nods at you, James. He mutters kind of a thanks under your voice. And he walks over to the bar and kind of, not shouting, but a louder voice. He's just like, he orders a bourbon and a scotch and sits down right next to the rat-faced guy.
Okay, my job is done. Right. Follow him back into the room.
As we go to the back of the room, I want to try to get behind her and say very casually, very sincerely, something happened on the way here?
Oh, bumpy ride, that's all.
Well, glad to see you're all in one piece, then.
Well, she ushers into a small room in the back. Inside, there's another vinyl couch and a card table with some straight back wooden chairs. There's a single bare light bulb hanging from a plaster ceiling. Sitting on the arm of the couch, next to some kind of electronic box, is a huge Indian. He's wearing a leather jacket with matching fringe breeches and a loincloth. He's not wearing a shirt. Instead, a bone vest, brightly decorated with colored beads and small feathers. His feet are covered by thick-soled moccasins, intricately designed with hundreds of little hand-sewn beads. On the left foot is a pattern of a snake, seemingly caught beneath the sole of the big man's foot. On the right is a small green bird, just taking flight up his calf. As you enter the room, he flips a switch on the front of the box, and he rises to meet you. There's a faint, relaxing hum filling the room. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. He comes forward, a smile on his face. He's human, but he's enormous for a human. He's not overweight either. He's just a really stocky guy. Not muscle-bound, he's just a big guy. Since you're kind of small for a troll, he's probably pretty close to your size there, Grog. His big mitt, he pushes forward and shakes everyone's hand. My name is Erlon Main, son of Ishir Mini Mains, and president of Global Technologies. The woman who brought you here is Roxanne Winter. We'd like to acquire your services if we can come to an understanding. Please, sit down. Have a seat.
Oh, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get to it. Time is pressing for all, especially us. The task is a simple one. Last night, a member of my staff assisted several thieves in stealing 3 data chips from my company. The defenses were spirited, and all the thieves managed to get away, though. The one who turned against me was like a son to me, though. But there's more. I have to have these chips back. The actual thieves are of little consequence to me. The stolen merchandise is vital. Time's of the essence. But a person can't charge into battle full of pride and self-importance. This run must be accomplished silently. Am I understood? Even a hint of your activities could be disastrous.
Hey. Okay. We always have to be professional. Don't worry about it.
All right. Now I understand the way of the world. The workman is worth his wages. I am willing to pay competitive rates. However, I've got to have the chips delivered here into Roxanne's hands no later than 9 a.m. Friday. It's Sunday night now. That gives you about 4.5 days to do your job.
Yeah, that sounds pretty reasonable.
So, let us negotiate. Who's going to be the negotiator for the group?
916 Spotlight, go for it. I don't want to hog all of it.
Just out of curiosity, what would the average rate be for something like this?
Do you have any kind of talent for shadow running etiquette?
Nope.
You would have a basic idea then, just having having worked around the police, and you know, you haven't been a shadow runner for long. I mean, you've only done some jobs here and there, but you'd think something like this. You know, just depending on you know what further information there is, he's basically saying he's needing to hire you for a maximum length of 4.5 days. You figure lowball maybe 10,000-20,000 new yen a piece. But you know, once again, you're really new to this type of thing, so you can't put a great price on it. But you figure 10,000-20,000 is a good starting place to negotiate.
If I were attempted to go into this was a role, I did have the aspects I once risked Disney into funding my most hardcore digital album tour. This seems like a wonderful business negotiation. Something I'm very good at weaseling in.
Yeah, but if you don't have any kind of etiquette with shadow running lore, you really don't know how to price this sort of thing.
Okay, fair enough.
You're going to come up with about the same thing.
Okay.
Now, you know, that once again, that's kind of what you figure. But you don't know how much it's actually worth the guy until you start your negotiation. So once everyone sat down, he says, so I'd like to acquire your assistance for this time. Of course, whatever fee we arrange on will be based upon getting the chips back intact. Destroyed is unfortunate, but if you can give me proof that they were destroyed, there'll be some minor compensation for that. Really, I need to get them back intact.
Hey.
So let's say he looks at each of you, and he takes a good, a solid minute looking at each of you, kind of appraising how he feels about each of you and what your competencies may be. And he says, what about 15,000 new yen apiece?
Not a bad price, but before we officially agree to anything, I'd like to know what we're agreeing to. So, any details you would like to throw out about the three that escaped with these chips?
As you can understand, I can't, unless we have an agreement, I can't tell you anything further. Because if you disagree, I'll have to hire another team, and you would be leaving with important information. But the job, as I said, is a simple one. I need these three chips returned to me. The people that stole it are inconsequential. They don't figure into payment. I don't want revenge. I just want the chips.
I understand your concern.
15, so let's say 10,000 each per chip.
15.
He's offered 15.
But you're countering with 10,000 per chip that you return each.
Yes.
Oh, interesting. So it would be worth it if, of course, I want all three, but if that can't be arranged, certainly I would pay for any number that you could get back. So 10,000 per chip per person? He thinks about it for a minute. Reasonable. I could accept that.
Okay. All right. And half payment if we can come back with proof that the chips were destroyed, if we couldn't return them to you.
I'm afraid destroyed isn't worth that much to me. for your efforts, and you can give me proof that they're destroyed, say 1,500 a chip. But if you can't bring them back intact, you'll have to prove to me that all three are destroyed. There's no middle ground on that. They would all have to be destroyed. And I would give you a lump sum of 10,000 each.
That sounds fair to me, guys.
I much prefer to have all three intact, or as many as you can get intact.
And we prefer higher pay, so of course we're going to try to keep them intact.
Mm-hmm. Are you agreed then? 10,000 per each, per chip?
I think our decision's unanimous. You have a deal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sounds good.
And I'll give him a handshake if he offers. I mean, I'll offer a handshake.
Yeah, he'll take it. Well, I'm glad we can come to an arrangement then. Due to pressing concerns, I will not be able to devote the attention necessary to this project. I am therefore giving complete control of this operation to Roxanne. Deal with her as you would deal with me. She knows everything that I know, that we can give you information-wise, which I'm afraid is little enough. And as a sign of good faith, he lays a cred chip down on the table. This is a small advance for anything that you may need to purchase in information-wise or that you might find useful reacquiring my chips.
Excellent.
All right. So we understand each other then? I have to have it no later than 9 a.m. Friday here and given to Roxanne.
Understood.
Very good. I will leave her, or you, in her capable hands then. And, he picks himself up and he goes for the door. Roxanne stays behind. After he leaves, Roxanne pours a few drinks. If anyone needs a top off, she just sits down on the couch with you. She seems to relax a little bit more. Well, what we know is unfortunately not a great amount. Let's start with the inside man, or boy, really. He goes by the handle Teehee. He's a matrix runner for the company. He's a very bright boy, but for some reason unknown, he helped the thieves. I assume he left with them. We searched his apartment exhaustively, as well as his office. I fear he's gone underground. Let me stress two points to you first. And most importantly, don't attempt to use the chips once you find them. They're prototypes, and they're very dangerous. They have not been sufficiently tested. It could cause nerve damage, brain damage, slotting them. I can't stress enough how dangerous these would be to try and use. Second, the chips are unique. There are no backups. The thieves trashed the data stores that led to the development. Once again, my employer offered a slight fee if you can prove the destruction of them, but really, we really would like to have them back. All three, but of course, as many as you can get. I'm afraid that's all we have for information. And she reaches behind the couch, and she pulls out like a little plastic square box. This is all of Teehee's items that we found from his home and his office. There might be some clue in here to help track him down. Unfortunately, we don't know a lot about the runners who stole the chips to begin with. One of them was injured in the conflict. Three of our guards were killed. We did not get video feeds of anybody. Probably because Teehee either scrubbed the video or deactivated it so that they could get in.
I see. Now, ignoring the fact that you hired someone named Teehee to do any sort of security or matrix running for you, but how exactly did these guards that were killed die? Bullets? Swords?
Oh, conventional bullets. Bullets. As far as we can tell, they had no magical assistance. It was really a smash and grab. Without Teehee's help in getting them through our security, they could never have done it.
As a group, can we just start calling Tee-hee, like T-E for now?
Well, again, if you're, you know, there's been two mentions of his name so far. So just, well, it's not a handle he chose. He has an unfortunate habit of when he's jacked in that he giggles like a maniac. Not exactly sure why, but he's brilliant. Very brilliant. He's had many breakthroughs that have been very supportive of the company's bottom line.
Interesting. Do you have any of his, I wouldn't say work, but I want to know what he's capable of.
Well, we had a toy line last year that she brings up. She's got her personal computer that she, you know, a little projector for those of you that don't have Matrix Jacks. He had a very popular toy line last year. This interactive doll. It's very popular amongst executives and their children. It was made the difference in us being profitable and not profitable last year. It was a good win for the company. He designed the algorithms for it, not a true AI, but close enough to fool a child.
Mind if I take a look at that algorithm?
Well, I'm sorry, that's company proprietary information, but I'm sure you could find one of the dolls anywhere in a decent store.
I suppose. I could, but then that would waste more time, and I'm assuming you want this
while you're talking. Suddenly, the door to the room bursts open as Roxanne's in mid conversation with you about the door. No one walks through it immediately. Then two orcs step through. Both are dressed in 3-piece suits with long capes over their shoulders. Each sports an Ares Silver Star. It's a type of gun. Resting in their crossed arms. Both of them are wearing mirror shades. They move to each side of the door, kind of flanking the door as a third orc enters the room. He's dressed like the first two. He's easily 6.5 feet tall. He's built like a linebacker. He's got a toothpick lodged in the side of his mouth. He is particularly ugly, even for an orc. Roxanne looks up, and, you know, her eyes kind of... There's a grimace on her face, and she says, "Junior." "It seems I was not notified of this impromptu company meeting," says the orc as he swirls his cape around him. He sits on the couch across from you guys next to Roxanne. "I left a message," Roxanne says kind of coldly. "Perhaps if you'd check your machine?" "Of course." He looks over at the guards and a little bit of laughter. "I assume this is your team. How delightful. They will no doubt prove as efficient and loyal as your pet Tee-hee." He looks at each of you for a little bit. "Well, if you need my assistance, you know where to find me." "Of course, Junior. I'll be in touch." If you guys want to interrupt at any time, you can. He waves a hand over his shoulder as he's heading for the door after he's made his grand entrance.
I'm noticing you two. Don't really need to say it, but I'm assuming you're not friends. So, I was talking, and we're trying to gauge what E.T. was capable of. And I would love to see the algorithms for the doll he recently produced. I'm not going to get that from you. Roxanne's being a little touchy about it.
Well, Junior looks over at Roxanne and says, "Well, it's good that she's not just handing over proprietary information for the company. That's one of the few things you seem to be able to do competently."
James is going to pull out his cell phone and start typing away on it, mm-hmm. and very discreetly taking pictures Junior and the bodyguards, but using the phone to keep notes.
Right. No. Sure. You can do that in the background.
Oh yeah.
And Roxanne says, "Oh, yes. How rude of me, if I can introduce, call him Junior here. He is the son of one of the founders of the company, who sadly has passed away recently. Give me just a second here, guys. What the hell is Junior?"
"Quite the diverse company you have."
Mm-hmm. "He's right over there. Can't you see him?"
"What?"
You broke up a little there. Ah, page 69. I'm glad they stuck that in the footnote. better known as Thomas Martelli Jr., or as we call him around the office, Jr. He gives a little, you know, fake bow to that when he's introduced. I'm sure Roxanne can answer any questions you might have. Good luck to you all. As he heads towards the door.
Good luck as we clean up your side of this mess.
Oh, I assure you, my side didn't create this mess.
You're all part of the same company. It's the company's blame, right?
You would think. You would think. And, yes, he departs.
I want to look out the door to see the Roxanne's bodyguard, if he's still next to the rat-faced guy at the bar.
He's not. The bodyguard and the rat-faced guy are gone.
Do you have a real name on Teehee or just his handle?
Oh, I'm sure we have a company file on him. She pulls open her comm unit and says, I will send over that information to you. If that's all right,
that would be great.
As a matter of fact, I was about to say that she had pulled out a plastic crate with all of Teehee's possessions in it. Says, "Oh yeah, here we go. Here's a data chip here that's got his company records on it."
Okay.
Excellent.
Can we get some information on the company, like an org chart or something similar?
Yes. And you know, she rifles around for a minute. She pulls out a business card that. Has a chip slot on it as well. It's like, yeah, this has all the stockholder information. You'll be able to find an org chart, investments, that sort of thing on there.
Excellent.
Okay.
Is there anything else I can provide you with tonight?
A way to contact you?
Of course. My private comm unit. This will get you through Global's secretary system. It's my own private line. Call me anytime. Anytime you have information you want to share or let me know about, I insist. Anytime that's necessary, give me a call.
And the other question, I do have one question for you. Did he work solo or did he work with any friends or associates? Did he have anyone? A lab partner,
Well, of course, Teehee was part of a team, but sadly not much of a team player. The genius that he was, most of our techs could not keep up with him. So yes, he did have a team. Unfortunately, no, they really didn't have a lot of contact with Teehee. They mostly got his plans after he had mostly fleshed them out, and they were responsible for making them more salesworthy. Sometimes Teehee came up with some really odd things we didn't know quite what to do with or how to market.
Did Teehee work on these data chips that were stolen?
Yes, he did.
Would you say this is the sort of thing he would be capable of doing?
Capable of stealing from us? No one thought that would have been a possibility. Mr. Maines treated Teehee very well. As a matter of fact, our company as a whole, under both founders, as I just said, Mr. Maines is the sole living founder now, we're a very family-oriented company. We don't terminate or let employees go without every possible thing we can do to keep the employee. The environment is very... I just don't understand why he would do this.
Well, of course, all families have their dysfunctions. If I was to ask you right now, what name would come to mind for someone who would do this? What name just comes to mind right now?
That would steal the chips?
Yeah.
Yes.
Junior.
Makes you look bad. Uh-huh. This is all blamed on you, you know.
There is a possible corporate buyout. I'll level with you. If we don't get the chips back in time, we're not going to be, it will become a hostile takeover. We won't be able to keep the company from being bought out. Junior wants the sellout. He wants the money. When his father died, he left all of his shares to Mr. Maines instead of his son. It was a sore point. Junior's never been one. He just doesn't have the head for business. Even before the goblinization happened to him, he was a waste, really. It's not surprising to anyone in the company that his father left the shares to Mr. Maines instead of his son. But Junior didn't take it well. We all believe he's looking for the payout. If the company's sold, he's entitled to half the share, or half the price.
And what company is trying to buy you out?
I'm afraid, she rifles through her index as the GM looks through the notes real quick.
I don't know, maybe confidential. We'll find out in a minute.
Actually, it's in the stockholder report there, as we have to, of course, let all of our shareholders know of any offers that are on the table. Sorry.
So I've got a few more questions, too, once we're done with this line of questioning, just before we rush off to the next thing.
It's a company called Materials Consolidated. They are also in the chip industry. And the merger or acquisition is largely due to, the chips themselves, none of the information was left on how those particular chips were developed. The betas, what came before those chips, is what they're buying or interested in acquiring your company for. It would definitely help their company in the next generation of chips. If we can't get those chips back, I'm afraid they'll be able to force out a vote and the company will be sold. No one wants that, but one does have to bow to the stockholder will. If we had a product ready to go that was quite lucrative, that could change opinions. That's why we need the working chips.
And what do these chips do?
I don't know. I'm not part of research and development. I understand there's some kind of hybridized skill chip. They're still quite in the beta phase. As I said, all of our researchers tell us that they're very dangerous right now, that they should not be used. Other than that, I can't tell you what they are. Not that I don't wish to, but all the records were destroyed. And other than those that worked directly on the project, which there were few, we don't know the designs.
Nothing like that was inside E.T.'s little box you gave us?
No. She pushes the box over. Unfortunately, no. Just a lot of personal effects in here. This is everything we found. He lived quite Spartan.
It's a good lifestyle.
Let me think. He started with us about 2 years ago, straight out of the University of Seattle. He's been a valuable member of our design team, as I said. Several breakthroughs in SkillSoft and SimSense. Talented decker. When he's not jacked into the Matrix, he's not very sociable. Not really sociable outside of the Matrix, to be honest. The team was sent to his apartment first thing this morning. It seems that he forgot to pay his rent. He's been kicked out for about 2 weeks now. We don't know where he's been staying in the meantime. Not a lot else I can tell you about that.
Okay, it sounds like we have a mystery to solve.
I want to start digging through that box of his belongings. Just to see what's in there, to see if something crops up in my mind.
Aside from, I can't remember the name of it, Mainframe Corporation, whatever the other guys was, would there be anyone else interested in this technology?
Well, yes. Many people would be interested in this technology. But there were very few people that knew about it.
Yes. The thing, if you're going to steal it for selling it, you have to make sure you've got a buyer.
I am certain that Mr. Maines had a buyer in mind for the product. But I don't
know. You could make it commercial, and you'd have commercial buyers and such, but if you're going to, as I said, if you're going to steal it, you have to have a direct buyer in mind for who you're going to sell it to. A fence, if you would.
I agree.
A couple of lines of inquiry possible.
All right, so let's see. James, looking through the plastic crate. There's a couple of circuit breadboards. You know, they're the prototyping breadboards. You know, it's basically just a piece of silicon with a bunch of holes. There's a couple of circuit boards to a cyber deck. There's a miniature toolkit. There's an electronic toy that does the twist when activated. There's several resistors, tickets to last week's urban brawl game at the Kingdom. There's a disposable lighter, a stack of data chips, a SimSense player with 8 discs, a holo cube, and a package of herbal tea.
The tickets were in his work desk?
Yes.
Right.
How many tickets?
Just the one.
Just one ticket.
Well, but it's like for a season pass sort of thing. He's apparently an Urban Brawl fan.
Well, when is the next Urban Brawl?
Well, the next ticket that he hasn't gone to is about 2 months away.
Yeah, too late.
Come on, it should be Thursday night. That's how these things work.
How generic is the herbal tea?
That is a very good question. See, the dwarf's asking it. Since you're kind of a, are you kind of a cook with your description of what you do for a living?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I will let you make an intelligence and probably, unfortunately, hacker is going to be the best thing that fits.
Okay.
And if you've got a distinction, like you being a cook, you can use that distinction.
Okay. Yeah, that would be another D8, though, right?
Yes.
All right, I'll do that.
5 ones, wow. You didn't even roll 5 dice.
8, 3, and a 4.
Eight, three, and a 4, okay.
12.
Pretty good.
Let's see, what is this going to need? Okay, you know, that's good enough. Despite the quality of the wrapping, which is, you know, pretty crappy, the tea inside is very fresh. The name on the tag reads, Orion Special Blend, Orion's Organic Grocery, Seattle. This is a, you know, one, it's real. It's real tea. Two, and it's organic real tea, which already is very pricey.
What?
Yeah, so this is, yeah, this is some
cha-ching, we'll just take that. There's our commission.
Oh, yeah, that's going to disappear real quick. So,
okay.
Are we in the Seattle area?
Yeah, you're in Seattle.
Okay. That's a place we want to go visit.
Yeah, you also said there was a holo cube and a deck with 8 discs?
Mm-hmm. So Roxanne's is going to hang around while you look through these things in case you have any questions for her.
Yeah,
she
what's
does
on
say
the holo
that,
cube?
You've got 23 minutes that this private area is still rented for, so, you know, take your time, but we do have about 23 minutes left.
Okay.
Holocube.
Yeah.
Pictures. All of them are of Teehee and some of his friends from college. You know, it's definitely, you know, they're sitting there doing, you know, beer stands and being acting stupid and stuff. So these are definitely college pictures of him. The only one that stands out, there's only one picture out of the ones on there that's of a person that's not Teehee. It's of a white-haired man. He's smiling at the camera from a desk. He's got a cyber terminal in one hand. The caption reads, Dr. Hendricks. On the other hand, is clutched a large coffee cup with the word Flair imprinted on the side, F-L-A-I-R.
Is Flair the name of any company or anything?
You can just do a quick search for that. No, it is not.
Okay. A program or...
Nothing comes up from, you know, just a general hit on looking for items with that name.
No, I'm just going to look on F-L-A-I-R.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look for, and then I'm going to look for Dr. Hendricks.
Okay. Yeah, he's easy enough to find out. He is a professor at the same college that Teehee went to. The other thing of interest in there is the toolkit. It's a complete computer and electronic micro toolkit. The one thing that's very interesting about it is there's an inscription on the case that says, "Future good luck, Flair."
And with that computer set, did you say earlier there was some data chips or something that came with it, or no?
Yep, and just looking over them, they're just common tools. You know, it's basically a suite of work tools. Nothing really special about them. Some of them have been modified, but they're tools.
Okay.
So they're not capable
okay,
of
Okay, and
dual
the
purpose.
Discs?
Those were the discs.
No.
Tools. The other thing that's in there was a lighter. Cheap disposable lighter near the end of its life. It's got a circuit diagram worked into the body. And kind of worked into the circuit diagramming is the name Breadboard, Quaff, and Stuff. It's like the name of a place. It's, you know, capitalized Breadboard, Quaff, and Stuff. It's worked into the circuit pattern.
That's another place to look into.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the professor, or the guy in the picture, is a professor from the University of Seattle. Doing just a quick search on him. Ex-professor. He's retired.
Huh. Okay. Well, he might be a place to start as well.
All right, so while you're looking over this and before your time goes up, the door opens again, and Roxanne's bodyguard comes back, and he heads over to Roxanne, pulls her aside for a minute, and starts talking to her. And she comes back to you and says, "Interesting. Thank you, James, for letting my bodyguard know that we were being spied on. Randall here had a conversation with a man, and there's some things here that might be of use to you." She hands you a card that's got a number on it. It says, "The guy was hired to follow me and report on who I talked to and where I went tonight. It was to report to this phone number. It was called, but the person on the other end didn't answer. But you might find some use out of it." So she hands you that over.
Yeah. I take it from her nicely. Shyly, but nicely.
Just wanted to know more about the security arrangements at the office. Who had access to the data chips that could have also done this? Just who is, and who had access to that level of whatever you needed to get into where they were?
Well, again, the security was very tight, but Teehee had override codes for everything, as he often worked late into the night and odd hours, and he needed access to all the beta testing equipment and the in-production items, so that we know that's how they got in.
Mm-hmm. Did anyone else have access to this?
No one else had access to all the areas that Teehee had, although between 3 or 4 of our technicians, they could have done the same thing that Teehee did.
Do you have logs for when people go in and out?
Of course.
And what do the logs for the night say?
The logs were working as normal. Nothing was flagged until the point that Teehee took down the security system, at which point nothing was recorded. That's why we have no video, no security footage of the time.
Was, yeah, but leading up to that, was Teehee there the entire time, or did he just turn up and then the system went down, or?
No, he had been there for several hours beforehand, 3 hours precisely.
Okay, and I'm assuming he had a security card or some such. He had to, like, badge in, badge out?
Yes.
Okay. And he took down that system as well?
He did. He took down our entire security system. Fortunately for us, Teehee didn't know that we actually do have a physical man who watches the monitors. And he was clued in, and that's why we were able to get a few shots off, and, well, unfortunately, it also caused a few of our guards' deaths because of this. But we weren't taken completely by surprise.
Okay, and so when your security system was taken down, it unlocked the doors. There were no, they opened when it went down?
Yes.
Huh. Is that normal behavior for your security doors? Don't they normally lock?
Yes, they normally do, yes. Once again, our inside betrayer, T, managed to take everything down.
And is this something that would normally be, say, in his skill set?
Well, yes. I mean, he had full access to the facilities, and being the Matrix jock that he is, of course, yes.
And what happens when you ring his comm unit?
No answer. We're not even able to track it. It must have been disposed of.
Mm.
Huh. If he's such a Matrix jock, did he have anything implanted?
Of course.
Like that comlink?
No, he did have an implanted comlink, yes, but he also had one that was issued by the office, a normal cellular phone. Both are off the grid. We're not able to get locations on either.
All right. We should probably wrap it up in here because we're running close on time. I do have a couple leads I'd like to pursue. Actually, before we go, could we just get the names of the people on Teehee's team and the names of any other employees who were working late that night?
Sure. You'll find them all in Teehee's file there. I must stress we've already done all the internal investigation that we can manage. And unfortunately, with this buyout coming, we can't have... And she chooses her words carefully. Like, she doesn't want to say riffraff. But she's like, we can't have outside contractors doing an investigation publicly in our building.
Oh, no. We didn't... that was not our intent. We totally understand. And yes, we will be discreet.
That would be greatly appreciated.
So you have video of Teehee before this happens?
Yes, yes we do.
Any chance we could see that?
Of course, it's already on those data chips there.
Oh, excellent.
There's not much to it. He appears to be going about his work as normal right before he kills the system. We have mm-hmm. verified that it's his logs, and the timing works out just right, that it had to have been
yep.
him who took it down. Not yep. only that, but the security guards that were on their trail did see Teehee fleeing with the group. So we've mm-hmm. got visual sign of him leaving with the group as well. He did not appear to be under duress. He was following without being chaperoned, if you will. He looked to be completely part of the party.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. No, there are still certain things that should be followed.
Well, please, yes, please keep in contact with me if you have any other questions or find any leads. Remember, time is pressing, and if at all possible, try to retrieve rather than destroy the hardware. It's been a long night. She rubs the bruise on the side of her face, and, I'm going to get what rest I can, but again, any time, any hour, call. This is very important to the company.
Before she walks out the door, Gale's going to do something stupid. He is going to walk up and in an attempt in one motion to raise her hand slightly, or she's already extended, and give her a peck on the top of her hand and say, Roxanne, you have Roxanne, it'll be my pleasure to solve this for you, because I just love crushing the dreams of jackasses like Junior. Pleasant dreams.
I will give you smoothness for that. Yeah, that's fine. She's taken aback a little bit, but yeah. Maybe if you weren't dressed like a hobo.
Hey, everybody loves the street urchin.
No, they don't.
Hey. Aladdin would never lie to me. Everybody loves to laugh.
Street urchins mean no health care, meaning you're probably riddled with disease.
Hey, it's recent. I mean, not the disease. I mean my current state.
All right. Well, what's your intent here? Are you trying to flatter her enough to think better of you, or are you just doing this to do a little bit of showmanship? Because if you want to make a roll for it, you can try and create an asset where she actually does think a little bit better of you if you want.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to call this kind of since you're being a little smarmy about this, is a vitality grifter roll.
Okay.
And if you've got any kind of distinction for, you know, being smarmy, you can throw that in.
I don't really think I have anything unless I could apply the part-time manager part.
No, she could care less about what you do for music.
You gotta be, you know, at least charming when you're being a part-time manager.
Well, I've got all these dice here, so I'm gonna throw in, I'm gonna throw in a D8 just because, you know, she is Ice Queen Executive. Let's see what we got here. Well, you got a one. You can take a karma for that. And I only rolled a 7. Seems you beat that. So yeah, okay. You've created a D6 asset on Roxanne.
Nice. Yeah.
That sounds
you might be street, but you're a pretty elf, and you know she's just a human. So
sounds so dirty. I made a D6 asset on Roxanne. Oh, sorry. Anyway, yes. So I guess I will walk out of the room, all showmanship, and also afraid that that bodyguard's totally going to punch me in the face.
If he hadn't preceded Roxanne out, he might have. But no. So you're good. You're good. Do you guys want to do anything before leaving the establishment? Your time is up in the room.
I want to make sure I have that tea with me.
Yep, if you want to take the whole box, you can take the whole box of stuff. If you just want to take certain items.
No, I want to make sure I have the tea.
Okay.
Everybody else can have the box.
Alright.
Actually, I have a question. I just realized. Could I technically use karma right now to make that asset last for, you know, the future?
Oh, yeah. If you want to make it, lasting, you can blow a karma and we'll put a permanent D6 on it for that relationship.
I'm doing that. Okay.
I mean, as it is, it will last until the next scene with her. So if you only need it to last that long, you don't need to spend the karma. But if you want it to be more permanent, you can spend the karma.
I'll spend the karma.
All right. She might be slumming it some. Not bad looking for a human. No, not bad.
Pull for a dwarf.
Where is that? Okay. Let's see, 10 as well. It's pretty late in the night by the time you're done. You're all told there probably by the time she got in. So it's like almost 2 o'clock by the time you're walking out. Just as they're, apparently this place is open 24 hours though.
Standard runner hours, that is. Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. But most other things are closed down or closing down for the night. Certainly an organic food grocery is not open 24 hours.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Well, can I hop onto the Matrix? Like, just through the... I'm assuming I can get onto it through the phone and see when it's hours and the address.
Oh, yeah, while you're in the bar, you can just get onto their Wi-Fi here and just do some basic searching just fine. Yeah, you get an address. It's actually... it's in the Polyup area, so it's actually not, you know, far from the area you are now. But yeah, they close early. They closed at 10.
Mm-hmm. What time do they open?
7 o'clock.
Another 5 hours. Mm-hmm. So how, it's easy enough to take a walk past there and scope it out.
Yeah. If you guys want to walk past, sure.
Okay.
Unless anyone actually took assets of being a vehicle, you're either taking cabs or walking, so.
We're walking. Quick question. Who here hangs out on, like hacking boards?
I do.
Well, Can you, I mean, she did mention that T.E. got his handle because he's, whenever he's in the Matrix, he tends to laugh a lot. Can we see when the last time was that T.E. actually signed in, on, basically jacked in, and if he did it, if we can pinpoint where he jacked in from? See if he was covering his tracks or not?
Yeah, the first thing you'd have to do is find out which boards T.E. frequented. Since you're pretty sure he uses that as his handle, since you know that's not his real name, you know, running that down is probably, you know, not going to be that difficult. Once again, you're just looking at public boards this way. If you want to actually hack into something, you're going to have to go full immersion and get in there and do that. But, all right. So who wants to do that?
I want to try the public boards method.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. This is going to be a intelligence hacking roll.
Okay, that's what I'm doing that as well.
Now, I'm using the public boards, can I use Gifter if I'm trying to get this information out of people on the board? The people he talked to.
Unfortunately, any net action is hacking, period. Any net action is hacking.
Okay, so here's my roll.
Now, if you contact someone specifically on the board and do some social engineering, I would accept Grifter. But right now, you've got to even find out where he stays.
Yes,
until you find that out, you can't do anything else.
Oh, jeez, really?
Right, I'm going to throw in one of my D8s since I've got plenty of them.
Yeah, I think you just got another one, too.
Oh, my gosh, Sharon, why? We did so bad.
Oh, my gosh. So I'm getting 3. I'm going to bump that up to, there's a D10 now in my pool.
We suck. We suck hardcore.
All right, so I got a total of a 10. Did you guys do better than that?
I got a 5.
No one got better than a 10?
No.
All right, so no, you're not able to run down where T.E. frequents.
He's good.
Yeah, no, yeah, it looks like... If that is the name that he uses in the Matrix space, he's not really that well known. Or he covers his tracks greatly, or he uses another name.
I'm gonna try I want to try a second roll and do another technique, which is to try to run down Dr. Hendricks.
Okay, like get an address, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. That's actually easy. You don't even have to make a roll for that. You have his full name. You know where he used to work. He's in the directory. He's in the phone book.
But I want to also find out what boards he's on.
Okay. Well, sure. Give me a intelligence hacking.
No, let's try that too. See where this goes. Probably somewhere terrible.
That's better.
And I'm not going to spend a lot on him, so we'll just do the normal base. 6. Looks like you both beat that.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, we did. Okay.
Yeah, he's actually not got much of a Matrix footprint at all. I mean, he's on the university boards. He still he does some consulting on there, and you know, he keeps up with how the university's doing, but that's really it. He apparently is not very well connected, and his handle, which you've probably already guessed, is Flair. But he's really not big in the net.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay.
Although I'm not sure where this will be taking place, assuming that E.T. was maybe sentimental, could I try to reconstruct what I'm assuming was the board that was the parts he got from this university professor and try to see if I can get anything from it, like any data stored on I didn't notice before?
No, there's nothing. There's nothing else there.
Okay.
You're talking about the boards and stuff he has in the milk crate?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's spare parts. There's nothing, like, fully put together. Okay. There's not even chips. I mean, it's just breadboards and some resistors. There's no actual integrated circuits at all.
Okay, gotcha. Well, it's been a long night, guys. See you in the morning. Maybe get some tea. Visit a few places.
That sounds good to me.
All right, so you guys go back to your individual homes and planning to meet in the morning somewhere?
Yep.
Yep. And by home, it's like, hey, Dinkelberg, back to the Coffin Hotel?
Which place are you going to meet at in the morning? The tea place? Orion's Organic?
Yeah, Orion's Organic.
All right, if no
Say
one else...
about 8:30, 7:30 or 8:30 in the morning?
7:30 sounds good.
Okay.
I'll give you about 4 or 5 hours of sleep if you're lucky. All right, well, we'll just go to the next morning then, unless anyone's doing something all on their own during the night.
No, I'm not.
There's more research to do, but...
Yeah, there is. Yeah, is this a good place to take a break? Okay.
Music in this podcast is provided by Kevin MacLeod. More of his excellent music can be found at incompetech.com. We have several ways that you can comment on our show. You can send email to steamsteelmurder@gmail.com. You can join our public forums at bluemagic.com/forums. That's bluemagic, bluemagik.com. Leave us feedback on iTunes or visit obsidianportal.com and do a search for our title and find our campaign blog and more information about the show.